All right, I want to play something funny here. Just ridiculous. This Zohran Mamdani, you know, globalist, chameleon, Islamicist, whatever you want to call him. So he goes, you know, in New York and is lifting weights in an outdoor gym, and they got 135 pounds on the bar, okay, that, you know, a 10-year-old in decent shape can lift, okay? And they're all cheering him, and then the guy above him is putting a lot of force in to lift it, his spotter, and then if you look in the video and still it, the guys are on both sides lifting it for him as well. So he knew he couldn't lift the weight, or they wouldn't have three spotters on that. And, I mean, I can pick up a, you know, 100-pound kettlebell with one finger. I mean, I'm not even that strong. So they're literally all, I mean, look at their arms bulging, which means he didn't even try. I mean, if you understand weightlifting, folks, this is the fakest thing I've ever seen. It's 135 pounds. Two 45s and a 45-pound bar. And you've got three guys. Actually, there's one in front of him. Sorry. Four people spotting him, and their arms are bulging out. I mean, at least two people spotting him at one time. I mean, somebody off camera, again, on the other side. This is, and yay, look. Now, this is the sharpest Biden we've ever seen. This is the best Biden we've ever seen. Same, oh, Kamala is a genius. And I'll give it to the guy. He's actually slick and a big chameleon. Talks different to every crowd he's, you know, with. And it's, you know, it's a silly thing. It just shows how incredibly fake he is. Here's the video.
Move up in the poll.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah.
That's how you move up in the poll. Yeah.
And then he can't get the weight up, so they gotta help him.
Yeah. Let's go. Yeah.
Ooh.
Let me get three. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I mean, if he lifted 135 pounds, why would people be cheering? It's like being able to walk up a flight of 10 stairs or something. People asked Arnold, how come 45 plus 45 equals 135? He says, because the bar weighs 45. That's funny. All I can think about is weightlifting. Oh, my goodness. My buddy Shane Steiner, back when he was really lifting heavyweight, could bench press 400 pounds free weight like 25 times. Of course, Cuomo here is a gigantic guy, but that's a fake weight there. That's a joke. Okay, it's just, remember the last mayor, the last communist mayor, with the,
I get a burger and I get fries when I get my shot? You mean, I'm this delicious burger and these delicious fries?
I mean, it's just, they're so fake. And they go, oh, well, look, Trump's not in great shape. Why are you making fun of Mondani? Because we're not pretending, you know, that Trump is in spectacular shape at 79. Though I doubt Mondami can, you know, play, you know, two rounds, 18 holes like Trump does. God, I don't want to either. Sounds exhausting. I've played 18 holes, you know, here and there, and it's, you know, you're decent. It's hot outside. It gets a little old for me. I don't know. But I'm not that big into sports. All right. The great Nick Sortor is coming up. Judge blocks Trump from pulling federal funding from sanctuary cities. Another Obama judge. He'll get overridden, but it will just hold up what Trump's doing as they continue to try to sabotage things. And again, this Epstein thing, how they think going and interviewing her and then getting her to put out a big whitewash is good and not going to hurt Trump. I mean, and I'm not saying I don't want them to cover it up. It looks like they're covering up. And out of the argument is, well, that way she can't change her story later. She's got to get her BS story out so she's discredited. She's already discredited. She's a freaking child trafficker in prison. So this is just a nightmare. And I'm going to be covering it all tomorrow. Nick Sortor coming up and more straight ahead. Share the live feed now. Real Life Show's on X. Well, I'm a-
meat-eating son of a gun, loving sun, loving hot-blooded Texians who step in, outlaw free, one looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high-quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things, not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. Shows tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, Brianna Morello tells you the truth about what's happening next on Good Morning InfoWars.
All right, we got a lot to dive into. It's been a very, very busy week. As many of you guys know, we've been calling on this for months now, asking what's going on with the FBA. Show us a pulse. Show us a sign that you're actually doing what you were elected to do with this new administration. Well, it looks like we're finally getting a little bit of a pulse here. You may have heard John Bolton had his home raided yesterday in Maryland, and it was quite the beautiful sight to see. President Trump's former national security advisor had that Maryland home raided, as we said. And Fox News is saying that everyone's getting it wrong because they're focused on the classified documents that were in Bolton's book. They're saying it's not just about that, that this raid potentially has a lot to do with their allegations, making a lot of money from overseas and may have trafficked intelligence information. Now, it's not just Fox News saying that. My good friend, attorney Mike Davis, is also alluding to the fact that this warrant isn't just covering classified documents. And he's warning Democrats and rhinos that they might look really silly once that document is made public. But after the raid on Bolton's home, we're starting to wonder, why was John Bolton so against Tulsi Gabbard getting selected to run DNI? And why was he so aggressively attacking FBI Director Cash Patel? Now, starting to learn why, because he knew accountability would eventually come his way, and he's the first one so far on the accountability tour. And folks, I just want you to listen. Listen to how angry he was when he spoke about Gabbard and Patel just a few weeks ago.
Any given moment. But I don't think he cared about the classification system. I don't think he appreciated the sensitivity of this information, and he didn't appreciate the sensitivity of how it was often acquired, the so-called sources and methods. So this had been briefed to him before I arrived. It was repeated frequently. I think it simply had no impact on him whatever.
There's a couple of different ways that people think about this, and people who are not friendly to the president who think about what's happened here. And one of them is, you know, Donald Trump, master thief, you know, criminal, running some kind of elaborate conspiracy to bring things out of the White House and keep them secret, for potentially for political or financial gain. There are other people who add it to attitude is Trump is chaotic. He's careless. He's not that smart. He took these things almost by mistake, and now he's basically stamping his feet and saying, they're mine, I don't want to give them up. Give me a sense of where you think the truth lies with respect to Trump's intelligence, carelessness, and the degree to which he might have brought motive to bear on taking these documents out of the White House and keeping them for this long at Mar-a-Lago.
Well, I it's very hard to speculate on motive other than that he liked cool things. He saw things that so he wanted to take them, and he was pretty much able to take them, and not just on classified information matters, on all kinds of things that crossed his desk. Some days he liked to eat a lot of French fries. Some days he took classified documents. He wanted them. Why did he want them? Because he could get them.
I'm so glad we got John Bolton on the record on how serious classified documents being brought home are. I look forward to them playing that at his criminal trial, of course. And I love how he's laying out the groundwork and all of that for his bed of lies, claiming that President Trump was also going to weaponize the DOJ. Because, folks, We all know that the machine, the deep state machine, was the ones looking to weaponize the DOJ, not President Trump. He's looking to hold them all accountable. And we hope that that is actually the case. That's what you and I voted for. We wanted to make sure that the swamp was torn down into pieces. All right, let's turn to something else that dropped yesterday. As many of you guys probably saw, Ghislaine Maxwell's DOJ transcripts and audio recordings were released. As many of you guys have heard, we've reported on this show. Maxwell did meet with the deputy AG of the DOJ, and Todd Blanchard's his name, by the way. And they did meet, and they had discussions about what Maxwell knew, and they asked several different questions. So let's go to the first clip, because I was able to listen to some of the audio. It's not ideal, so we only got you one clip from it. But interesting enough, Blanche asked Maxwell about her father's foreign ties to other intelligence agencies, and this was her response. All right, so her response was only talking about her father's interactions with the British intelligence agencies, doesn't mention anything about Israel, okay? Now, that's the first one. We've actually got that up on my Twitter page if you'd like to take a listen to that. Now, let's go to the first screen grab that we have of this, because I've been sifting through the transcripts, so you guys don't have to, and it's very, very lengthy. Now, in a lot of this, she's actually, I guess I would just say, she's defending President Trump because the corporate media has been lying about President Trump's involvement with Epstein. And so this clears a lot of those rumors up if you believe what she's actually saying is being truthful. She says that she's never witnessed President Trump being inappropriate, and that she hasn't heard of any of that between the masseuses or anyone else that was interacting with both her, Epstein, or President Trump. Now, she also goes on to debunk that Wall Street Journal report. Now, specifically in the transcript, she's being asked about Jeffrey Epstein's 50th birthday and how there were all these letters that were gifted to him for his 50th birthday. Now, she did get some discovery in one of her legal manners, and she's asked about that discovery. She's asked specifically if she remembers seeing a letter written by President Trump with an illustration included, and she herself says no. She doesn't recall ever seeing that letter, and she's someone who claims that she read through all of this. Now, it's not just that. And this one, don't beat me up, I'm just a messenger. But she's also asked about any type of Epstein client list or any list at all. And Maxwell claims that there is no list. Interesting, interesting. Now, some more random things that came up during their discussion. Maxwell denies the charges that she solicited women, girls, for Epstein rather than Epstein being paid for business reasons. She also goes on to say that she did not see underage girls involved in any non-consensual and inappropriate behavior. So again, her credibility, not too strong these days. Maxwell says there has never also been any blackmail that was used against these people. She also described it as total BS. She also detailed that there was no surveillance footage found around the property, any cameras that would be inappropriate. She repeatedly says that. She says that her definition of appropriate surveillance footage, or I'm sorry, cameras, would be cameras outside of the property, not those inside the property in personal spaces. So she's denying that there's even blackmail, folks. Not looking good. She also says that Larry Summer was a personal friend of Epstein. She goes on to say Maxwell thinks she met Alex Soros at an event, but doesn't remember the exact context. So there's a lot. There is a lot that came up in all of this. Nothing groundbreaking. Nothing we haven't personally told you about. Now, I'll be joined by Ken Silva in just a few moments. We're going to do a deep dive into all of this because he's also been looking at a couple of different angles from the Maxwell transcripts. Some of it was really funny. Like, she even voluntarily mentioned the cartels. And then she quickly realized, because she's in prison, you probably shouldn't even talk about the cartels. So she quickly corrected herself and shut it down. Blanche not really digging much into her father potentially working for foreign entities, foreign agencies. Came up again in the discussion. That's what Silva was going to talk about, because he has done all the research behind that. He's done incredible reporting for Headline USA. So he's going to join us in a few moments on that front. But again, it's kind of a disappointment because we haven't heard much on that front. All right, folks, now I went on X and I asked you all about your opinions about our government now owning 10% stake in Intel. And it was very interesting because I want to know what you guys thought about this. The administration announcing this yesterday that they had purchased 10% and now they own that 10% stake in the company. And a lot of you aren't very happy about this, and you are sounding off right now on my X page. Leave a comment, folks. I just wanted to kind of go over and see how everyone else is feeling about it. Most of you feel very uncomfortable about this. In fact, even saying that you believe that this is a step towards communism. And I understand why you're very, very concerned. I saw Congressman Thomas Massey also talking about this earlier today. He doesn't even think that this is constitutional. He believes it's against the law. And he looks to possibly challenge just that. So we'll see as that develops as well. Now, like I told you, lots going on. TSA, we're going to talk about them in just a few moments because there's a new report out that says TSA isn't making you any safer. And we've got all the information to back it up. Sonny Labosco joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. It's been helping me out for the last 3 years, lost 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble bashing, like getting sick of Alec plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on in my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about Methylene Blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it because you had to buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the Methylene Blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our Methylene Blue, and it's kept you regress, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
right now? I'm walking.
Okay.
No, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to. Don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly.
Yeah.
Where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the Methylene Blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down, and I was trying to find like a concoction, and all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that's great to hear.
To talk to you.
Because, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, the products that we offer to people. And, Methylene Blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well, thank you.
Me having it.
Thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for helping your family too, because, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
and talk about my, I guess I just don't like TSA. So I'm often voicing that, and I'm always digging up the dirt on TSA because I actually just think it's ineffective. And I think it's one of the many agencies that need to be broken up and dismantled. And there's just endless, endless evidence of that. Now, when you head on over to the independentnewsroom.com, that's a newsletter website that I have. It's free. We give you the stories that you need to know about, and it goes straight to your inbox. And this was one of the stories that I dropped yesterday after going over the OIG report that just recently was released by DHS on TSA. There were several alarming elements to all of this. And it seems like it's a never-ending security failure when it comes to TSA. And we're going to outline some of that for you today. First things first, what was one of the clearest things about this OIG report is how, well, TSA really isn't good at delegating its roles to its agents. I mean, it's really just a train wreck of an agency. And it creates internal conflicts and tensions between both TSA and federal air marshals. And all of that is clearly outlined in this report. Now, they also say in this report, and this is a major issue, that TSA's investigations over misconduct allegations rarely really results in any type of accountability. Now, obviously, that is concerning because we've seen cases of misconduct, and there's a lot of them. I mean, we're talking about over 177 cases that were allegedly opened on all of this. So, again, we are extremely concerned. Joining me is a woman who is very concerned as well. Please welcome to the show, Sonia Lobosco. She's the executive director of Air Marshal National Council, and she joins us now. Sonia, you have read through this OIG report. You've done all the digging on all of this. Let's focus on the first thing. We saw that TSA is being criticized for not holding its agents accountable when they're supposed to. What's that all about?
Well, Brianna, this is a really concerning report. Now, this is the Inspector General, Joseph Ghaffari, who's come out, and this was just recently. This has to do with the TSA Insider Threat Program. So an insider threat, just to describe what that is, it's a person that has secure access to a sensitive area of our infrastructure, whether it be at the airport, at the train station, at the port. It's someone who wears a credentialed badge. They've been vetted. So they have access to these areas within the body of the airport or at the train station that they don't have access, you know, that normal people would not. And what happens with insider threat, someone calls an insider threat report in, maybe another employee reports that, hey, I saw an employee bringing bags through, in the baggage area of the aircraft that they shouldn't have there. And these are the type of threats that are, we should be taking these extremely serious because nobody's breaking their access to go inside a secure area for any reason other than criminal activity, terrorism, or any other type of illicit illegal behavior.
Yeah, and there's been cases of TSA agents being charged. I remember there was one you sent it over to me of TSA agents who have been criminally charged on this. And we're talking about 177 investigations. That it looks like it took place. Let me pull that up because, again, that's all available right now. 177 cases, records have been pulled up. And so this is all, again, on the independentnewsroom.com. We put this out there for you guys to go take a look at this yourself. But 21 of those allegations did not get referred for criminal misconduct. What's that specifically all about?
I mean, Brianna, this is 21 cases of insider threat. These were valid insider threats where someone said, now this could be more than one person. We have organized crime groups that work within the airport, right? If you think about it, if there's a group in Newark working with a group in New York, these are people that have access to these secure areas. So that we do have these organized elements of crime that work within the airport. That means there's 21 insider threats, not just misconduct or allegations, 21 insider threats that have not been cleared as we speak today.
Yeah, I mean, that's extremely concerning given the threats that we have. Not only, I mean, we have a ton domestically, but overseas. I mean, that is something that is really, really concerning, Sonia. And again, I mean, it sounds like the new administration has a lot of mess to clean up in that regard. So we'll see how they handle that. I'll get your take also on how we could resolve these issues. But I also wanted to ask you in regards to the other element in all of this. We saw that the report specifically is also calling out the communication issues between TSA and the federal air marshals, specifically how, I guess, tasks aren't designated appropriately and how there's a lot of conflicts that have come up from all of this and tensions between both of these agencies has kind of brewed from all of this. What are some of the gray areas, I guess I should say, in regards to TSA not properly telling its agents what their roles are?
Well, Brianna, it goes back. Okay, so there's an inner conflict right now. And DHS, even the OIG Inspector General said that this turf war basically in TSA is impeding national security investigations. You've got the Federal Air Marshal Director Brian Belcher. We've heard his name many times. Remember, he's the guy that thought it was okay to put Tulsi on the Quiet Skies watch list. He's the guy that thinks it's okay that he's unarmed our air marshals. He's the guy that thinks it's okay that we're running out of ammunition. This is the same individual that's in charge of the insider threat program for TSA. So you've got the air marshals on one side, and then you've got the TSA Office of Inspections on the other side. So you have this turf battle going in between these two TSA components who will not cooperate. And because they won't cooperate, these threats are going unlooked at. They're wide open right now. We've got 21 insider threats. Gosh knows if that's one person or 10 people in a group working together somewhere in a secured area doing wrong.
Yeah, and that's something that needs to be addressed. That's definitely a significant issue. I saw that this kind of concludes, the report concludes, by TSA agreeing on all six recommendations to take those up. Briefly, if you could just describe what these recommendations are, and are they enough to fix these issues?
Well, those recommendations are not enough to fix these issues, because let's face it, at the end of the day, Brianna, when a piece of paper impedes national security investigations, somebody needs to be fired. I mean, at the end of the day, there's no way that this piece of paper should stop a national security investigation from occurring. The other thing I wanted to point out too, in regards to this report from the DHS OIG, but also from the Government Accountability Office, they did their own separate report. There is no standardized operating procedures with either of these groups with TSA. There's no formalized training. There's no accountability. And there's no protocols. So $11.5 billion, where is the money going internally to try to keep individuals safe if our insider threat program can't even function properly?
Yeah, I mean, that's a legit question that should be asked. Sonia, we've got about 30 seconds. I kind of wanted to get your take on this, the new administration stepping in and trying to correct a lot of the issues, shutting down the Quiet Skies list and so many other things that they've done behind the scenes. What can they do now to make these changes to fix these issues?
Well, they have to clean out all the Biden holdovers. You know, we've got all the upper executives, the senior executive service. Brianna, they're still in place. None of those individuals have been removed. So as long as those individuals are in place, they're going to resist the new administration. They're going to continue doing their thwarting any type of success that President Trump is going to have. And they're doing it. Look at what's happening right now in this insider threat program.
Yeah. Sonia Labasco, you are an incredible woman, my friends. And thank you so much for flagging this for me, because this is really a national security issue that needs everyone's attention. So thank you, Sonia, for all that you do. We appreciate it as always.
God bless. Keep fighting, Brianna. We need you.
Thank you, Sonia. Yeah, we need you too, girlfriend. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right, folks, there's a lot more to unpack. Ken Silva joining us.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it. RFK Jr., he took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in
because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah. I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshore.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but
and you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah, I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy. But it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really
well. It skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible, and they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, thealexjonesshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShore.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first. And then working out so hard that, you know, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
InfoWars, your source for uncensored truth this morning is Brianna Morello.
Rise and shine, Patriots. It's another beautiful morning with a lot going on in the world. By the way, I actually have my tin foil kit. I just got it the other day when I was down at the studios. I'm very excited to show you what my tinfoil hat looks like very, very soon. So make sure you guys grab one as well. But a lot going on in the world today, and I was, you know, scrolling through my X feed, and I completely forgot about a story that involved John Bolton and a Pakistani man allegedly looking to possibly kill President Donald Trump. And I wanted to bring this back to the surface. I think it's actually the perfect time to discuss just that. I'm talking about the 2024 plot where they said that, or the government alleged, that a Pakistani man made his way into the United States with an elaborate plot to assassinate President Donald Trump. Now, that man was arrested on July 12th, 2024, the day before the assassination attempt on President Trump's life in Butler. Of course, you probably remember that. Now, that Pakistani was allowed into our country, strangely enough. And if you're wondering why I'm saying he was allowed into our country, well, he was apparently talking to an FBI undercover agent online. Again, this is all the government telling us. So keep in mind, this is the Biden DOJ talking about this. This individual asked Fifth Merchant, I think I got that right, the Pakistani man was released into our country, was detained the day before President Trump was almost assassinated in Butler. But interesting enough, not many people are talking about it. The FBI actually, well, I mean, they knew he was came into our country back in April, according to reports. The FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force interviewed him when he arrived at George Bush Intercontinental Airport. And then for some reason, he was allowed to be released into our country. Again, this man was apparently an individual looking to hire someone to kill President Trump. So let's talk about the John Bolton angle, and the perfect person to do just that is Ken Silva, the headline USA editor. He is the one who's brought this back to the surface, brought this back to my attention, and he has been doing all the digging into this. Ken, I want to thank you for jumping on with us today, because I totally forgot about this story, and you've resurfaced it. You brought it back to the top for all of us to focus on. And obviously, after Bolton had his Maryland home raided, that this is pretty relevant. So let's talk about Bolton's angle in all of this, because the story was kind of confusing, because obviously this is the Biden DOJ going after this man and making all these allegations. But the FBI ultimately was the agency that released him after interviewing him into our country. And then it was their own undercover agent who was the one talking about potentially assassinating President Trump, it looks like. So break all this down for us.
Yeah, that's right. And it's kind of ironic that John Bolton's now under pressure by the FBI when he once worked hand in glove with agents to fabricate the so-called Iranian plot. So the quick and dirty is, you know, we go back to January 2020, the Trump administration assassinates Iranian General Soleimani. Ever since then, there have been all these reports that Iran wants revenge. They want to kill Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, and Donald Trump. And, you know, listen, I'm sure there are millions of Iranians that would like to see these guys dead. Whether the Iranian government has the capacity to assassinate a U.S. official on American soil is a totally another matter. So far, we've seen no solid evidence of this. And moreover, you gotta, you know, look at it from the standpoint of the Iranian regime, a cost benefit analysis. You know, they're not dumb. They know that if they kill a U.S. official, that spells the end for them. Trump would, you know, totally wipe out the entire country. In fact, that's what Trump said. He said, if Iran kills me, I've left instructions for J.D. Vance to destroy the entire country. You know, despite that, in 2021, the Secret Service started affording John Bolton protection, costing the taxpayers $20,000 a month in response to this purported Iranian threat. It's a year later, the DOJ announces that they uncovered an Iranian plot against Bolton, and they indicted some guy in Iran who, of course, will never be arrested, never appear in court, will never see the evidence because he's in Iran. But if you look at the indictment, it just doesn't pass the smell test. The case amounts to some guy in Iran talking on the internet with somebody who he thought was a hitman in the U.S. Turns out the hitman was an FBI informant. At one point in 2022, the FBI has the informant go to Bolton's house, take a picture, send it back to Iran. Building the case, they keep talking, the Iranian eventually gets impatient, like, oh, when are you going to actually do this? And then the DOJ wraps up the case, makes this big announcement. I think it was on 60 Minutes and everything. They interview Bolton, much to do about nothing. To top it off, it turns out that the agent in charge of this entire case in the Washington field office was Stephen D'Antuono, who people might be familiar with that name because he headed the Detroit field office in 2020 for the whole Whitmer Fednapping case. And then he was transferred to D.C. a month later, and he was the deputy there when January 6th goes down. D'Antuono headed the investigation into the Capitol Hill pipe bomber. They never catch the suspect. D'Antuono lies about getting corrupted evidence from the cell phone companies. So just everything about this Bolton case smells just totally phony, totally fabricated by the FBI. And yeah, as you mentioned, this has kind of evolved since then. There have been several similar cases involving a purported plot to assassinate Trump. And, you know, we can get deeper into those if you'd like to, but this is long-winded, so I'll pause and see if you have any questions.
Yeah, no, I mean, you did a great job explaining all of that. And the part that's so infuriating is we constantly are seeing the FBI, and especially into the Biden regime, set up people online and then go after them and pretend like there's a extensive threat to officials. And it's really just the FBI pushing someone, poking them with a stick online to get them to do something so that they could cook up their numbers. I know, you know, FBI whistleblower Steve Wren is someone who's spoken out publicly about all of this and how they do it. So I think it's very interesting. But, you know, you have the angle on specifically, we've got about 30 seconds before we go to our next topic. Tell us a little bit about the Trump angle and all that, because you said that there was other assassination attempts, correct?
Yeah, sure. So real quick, they arrested a Pakistani guy on July 12, 2024, the day before the Butler shooting, for attempting to assassinate Trump. The dirty little secret in that is that he was let in the country in April on what's called a significant benefit parole program, which a reporter, John Solomon, did great work on this. This is like when you let somebody in the country specifically because they're either an informant or because, you know, it's part of an elaborate sting operation. So he tries hiring two undercover agents, gets busted. He's been in solitary ever since. It looks like another Whitmer case, except worse because a lot of the evidence is classified because there's FISA and international angles. The case is still ongoing. We're going to see how this plays out. But again, it smells like kind of Whitmer case on steroids.
Yeah, all of this is just really infuriating because we see this time and time again, so that's not surprising at all. I wanted to get your take, too, on the Maxwell audio recordings that we heard yesterday. Because it was quite interesting. We went into detail about a couple of the other angles, but you specifically were reporting yesterday on Jeffrey Epstein helping start the Clinton Foundation. What was that all about?
Yeah, that's according to Maxwell with, you know, take her word with a grain of salt. I did catch her in several lies, but she claims that, you know, I think this is in the early 2000s. She's telling Bill Clinton, like, you need your own Davos. She's referencing the World Economic Forum, the meeting where all the elites gather once a year. She said, Bill, you need to do this yourself. And she also says that Jeffrey Epstein donated money to help get that operation running. You know, we all know the Clinton Foundation ended up being a conduit for the Clintons receiving donations in exchange for political favors. Adding intrigue to this is the recent FBI document showing that the FBI had the goods on the Clinton Foundation in 2015, all the corruption evidence, but the DOJ stifled that investigation and chose to pursue Russiagate instead, which is, you know, a whole nother thread we could tug on. But that's the short and dirty of it.
Yeah, not really surprising. Not really surprising at all. Ken Silva, you're doing incredible work over at Headline USA. Thank you for helping us understand all of that. I know it's a lot, and you seem to do a great job at making it very simple for our audience and myself to even understand. So thank you for all the incredible work you continue to do. Folks, a lot going on in the state of Florida. I don't know if you're aware, but the LGBT plus whatever community, they're not very happy with Governor Ron DeSantis because their murals are getting painted over. Brendan Leslie joins us next.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban. Right. This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim. This is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that, almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force, and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more. The natokinase and the serapeptase, those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why they're becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat. These cows can't. These cows can handle cold. They can't. These dogs can handle this. These can't. We're all dogs. We're all cows. We're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
No, 100%. I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowShore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top selling products of all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. When you look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. This is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
Welcome back to the program. A lot happening when it comes to corrupt federal judges. We see it time and time again. They're not happy with the Trump administration, and they want to insert their own political agenda into just that, and they're trying to stop them from doing incredible things. I'm talking about flushing out all the illegal aliens in this country. There's millions of them, and obviously we need all hands on deck. In the great state of Florida, they came up with the incredible idea of Alligator Alcarez. Well, now an Obama-appointed judge, Judge Kathleen Williams, has just mandated the closure, and she's also calling for it to be demolished within the next 60 days. She's, of course, citing environmental issues. It's an absolute joke, of course, but she's also claiming that they also need to stop doing intakes and stop taking in illegal aliens as well. How does a federal judge even have this level of authority? Joining me now to break down everything going on in the great state of Florida is Brendan Leslie. He's the founder of Florida Voice News, and he's with us now. Brendan, thank you for jumping on this early in the morning, because there's a lot going on in the beautiful state of Florida. Specifically, this judge, Obama-appointed judge, shutting down Alcarez. As many of us know, this was like a great thing. Alcarez was like one of the top things that the Trump administration was pushing out there. And it's really unfortunate, right, that we have these judges who are overstepping and trying to shut down their agenda. Obviously, the Trump administration is going to appeal this. But break down the latest in regards to her ruling.
Yeah, essentially what they're doing is just looking for any ridiculous reason that they can put on paper that sounds okay to shut this down, such as environmental issues. Now, listen, I'm a big conservationist. I've done a lot of work helping protect the waterways going into the Everglades. But you have to keep in mind that this alligator Alcatraz has been built on a piece of land that's already been there as an airport. It's like a landing strip for an airport. So it's not like they're like knocking down trees in the Everglades or injecting our waters with chemicals. Sure, you got more humans moving in and out, I guess. But at the end of the day, this is simply just them looking for any ridiculous reason to cover their own butts in blocking this, because obviously we can't let President Donald Trump, Governor Ron DeSantis be successful in deporting illegal aliens.
Yeah, and they're looking to also expand these efforts and build more of these take-in sites all around the state of Florida. And so I'd imagine that's probably another reason why she's trying to slow down their momentum. Has the Trump administration or Governor Ron DeSantis commented on this thus far?
Yeah, from all signs, the Governor Ron DeSantis is going to appeal this, is going to take it to the higher court. This is why we have such a great system here in America, where if you get one ridiculous judge, you can take it to the higher court to get an actual real ruling. So I don't expect Florida to stop alligator Alcatraz anytime soon. I'd be shocked if they did. Maybe pause, maybe. But I think they're going to keep going. They're going to take this fight all the way to the end, because Florida leads the way when it comes to deporting illegal aliens. I mean, I just saw something this morning about another 200 illegal aliens arrested throughout the panhandle. They're doing really good work. And you mentioned earlier that we're going to be opening up more places like alligator Alcatraz in Florida. We did so up in Northeast Florida, I believe it was, and it's Deportation Depot. So they go from Home Depot to Deportation Depot, and then on the first plane back to wherever they came from.
It's so crazy, because we're not talking about they're just going after just moms and children. They're looking to deport them. They're literally going after the worst of the worst. And I believe the last statistic I saw was like 70% of these individuals they're deporting have criminal backgrounds, or they're currently being charged with a crime in this country. And so obviously these are people that we don't want in this country, because they are either violent or they're just criminals. I mean, anyone who comes into our country illegally is a criminal. And for some reason, Democrats just can't get that through their heads. So we'll continue to follow that as it unravels. But there's also another topic that's gaining national coverage, because Texas kind of led the way on all of this by redrawing their congressional maps. And now Florida is looking to get their hands in this as well. They're looking to redraw those maps. And Democrats aren't very happy with this. Of course, they're using the normal, oh, this is attack on our democracy narrative. But what is Florida currently looking at when it comes to redrawing those maps before the midterms?
Yeah, I believe you got one, maybe two more extra seats you can get out of Florida, because I would argue that it was gerrymandered against the Republicans. And as great as our maps were, that we could still do better. And the seat that I'm specifically talking about is in the Tampa Bay area. Look, I don't think there's anyone out there that trusts the 2020 census. I don't trust what citizens they counted. I think there's probably a bunch of illegals on there, or voters that just don't exist anymore or never existed. So, to me, I think it's worth the look. I really do feel that Florida can give us a more Republican favored district in the Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay, it's booming with Republicans. The registration efforts are neck and neck. Like, we have really surged in that area. We flipped a major seat in the Florida Senate a couple years back that gave the Florida Senate the supermajority. So there's a lot of work to be done there. And the Democrats, once again, are just going to look for any reason to lie and pull on the heartstrings and say that we're racially gerrymandering. And it's like, no, you know, we're trying to actually follow the laws here and give proper districts. So I'm really Texas, bravo. Bravo, Texas. For the first time, they were leading on something that Florida wasn't. But now Florida is going to be following suit. So I'm excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that as well, because it's rare when Texas leads the way on something, and this was a good one to get going. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the LGBTQ pride crosswalks that are all over the state. I know in Delray Beach, I covered the crosswalk there and how they were looking to even send a kid who did a burnout on the crosswalk to prison for a year. It's absurd. That was Palm Beach County.
Yeah.
But, you know, now we have the government stepping in, local government stepping in, the state specifically saying that there's new requirements regarding that. You can't use state funds to do things like this. And now we see that the Florida Department of Transportation is painting over a lot of these murals, and it's got folks in Orlando a little upset. What are you hearing?
You know, it's Florida's message is pretty clear. Our roadways are for transportation and not political ideology and messaging. We all pay for these roads, whether we live in Orlando or not. These are all our taxpayer dollars. So the DeSantis administration in the middle of the night, they painted over that crosswalk in Orlando, and you expected it from the left. They're freaking out. And you mentioned that that guy that got put in jail for a year for doing a burnout. Are you kidding me? Doing a literally, like, think about this. They were put in jail for doing a burnout in a road. Like, at the very worst, that should be a ticket, right? A traffic infraction. The left care more about silencing people that are against this radical trans agenda than they do in putting rapists behind bars and deporting them out of our nation when they're not supposed to be here. That's just goes to show you how crazy they are and why you're seeing such a crazy shift. You can tie all of our stories together that we just talked about in the last few minutes. I mean, they have these crazy ideas that are pushing so many normal people in the middle that just work 9 to 5, don't really pay attention, to the right because they just don't stand for this ridiculousness, such as protecting illegal aliens, and such as this radical agenda with telling boys can be girls. So we're getting the exact reaction we expect from the Democrats. Florida Senator Carlos Guillermo Smith, who is basically our own version of AOC here in the state of Florida, lost his mind, went super viral about just how this is just an attack on democracy, blah, 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 blah. It's the worst thing ever. But hey, I hope he keeps speaking. I hope he keeps going viral. I'm going to keep posting his videos. It was one of my biggest videos this week. And you know what happens when we share that and expose that stuff? You see more people shift to the right, and then we can get more congressional seats for the GOP because we have more registered Republicans than Democrats for the first time ever in Florida history. And this is a model that I encourage the rest of America to continue to follow. That's why I'm applauding Texas for finally leading on a GOP cause, because when you fight back, good things happen. Republicans can maintain control. We just need to have a backbone for the first time ever. Florida does a really good job in having that backbone.
Yeah. Brennan, Leslie, it's about time Texas gets it together because they have been taken over by rhinos, but they finally did something good. So we will celebrate just that. Thank you for all the great work you're doing in the beautiful state of Florida. We appreciate your time, especially because it's early in the morning for you. So thank you for jumping on with me.
No problem. Always appreciate it, Brianna.
All right, folks, when it comes to organ harvesting, this was a deeply concerning topic. And under the Biden administration, it looks like they were actually promoting it with their policy, the regime's increase that they were looking to push on organ transplant access model. Now, that was a mandated program that just recently took effect in July of 2025. Well, America First Legal is looking to go over it and sift through all these documents. They just recently submitted a FOIA request. And they're looking to review because there's a lot of people who are speculating about this right now and have a lot of allegations about the program that it, in fact, incentivizes hospitals to booster their organ procedures. Now, obviously, folks, we know that's extremely, extremely dangerous and there should never be any financial gain in organ harvesting. And RFK Jr. talking about it on Newsmax just a few weeks ago, specifically outlining one case that he heard about. In that case, specifically saying that a patient who was having their organs donated woke up from the procedure, was quickly brought to the hospital where they later died. Obviously, that is completely disturbing. America First Legal is looking to dive into that, and we'll bring you an update when they get their FOIA requests back. All right, folks, that does it for me on this beautiful morning. Thanks for jumping on. Of course, give me a follow on X at Brianna Morello. And sign up for my independentnewsroom.com newsletter. It is a free outlet you could sign up for. Get breaking news sent straight to your inbox, independentnewsroom.com. I'll see you here again next Saturday.
We need funds. We're fighting the globalists at point blank range. And they got a receivership hearing with Judge Gloria Gamble that ran the Texas show trial next week to send the sheriffs here. I get it could be within days next Wednesday to shut us down. And I'm sure we'll get lots of funds then once we're shut down. Be like, oh God, he really did need help. Oh yeah. We have been battling and battling and barely surviving. They turned the internet off here before. They had a fake sale to Bloomberg's front group. Remember all that? And it was because we didn't give up and the crew didn't give up. When I told the crew, no, we're going to beat this, don't go. And I stayed here and slept here a couple times. We're still here. And because you bought the products, we had enough money for lawyers to go battle it and beat it. Everybody listening needs to get off the fence, get off the bench, get up at the plate, and needs to go become a VIP. $30 a month. See it as a donation. You get $40 each month to spend the store. Sales on top of everything. Special deals. Special offers just to you. It's insane. And then if you really just want to support and you don't want methylene blue or turmeric, you're crazy if you don't, or Ultimate Life Force, the best cardiovascular spike protein detox, everybody should be taking it. And it's the best. Ultimate Life Force is the best cardiovascular, heart health, spike protein detoxer. Every man, woman, and child should take at least one regimen of it, see how you feel. It does dramatic things. We have the strongest turmeric. You should get it. And I got a lot of news to cover. I almost sit here and beat a dead horse, but the news we get out is so powerful, and it's that less than 1% of people that buy stuff at theoxygenstore.com that make all this possible. And this fight is your fight. They want us off the air because they want to shut down focal points of organizations that hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire and warn Trump and warn his advisors and have a big effect and big pull, as the administrations have said and as the Democrats have said. They've come after Trump. They've sued Trump. They've had their operatives in there, and they see our stuff everywhere. Step into the zone of history and understand that you are the key. You are the variable. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. And this dog don't hunt without you.
Sources, I'll leave it at that. I had a long conversation with one today, and I was actually authorized to tell you basically everything they told me except a few things. But you know what? I'm with the notes I wrote, I'm gonna think about this and before I start putting it out, because this is big, big, big information. And folks know about me and InfoWars, I don't tell you I got something big unless I got something very, very big. Just one little example of thousands. Remember how on that Monday before RFK Jr. endorsed Trump on that Friday, I said, yeah, he's going to be out in, you know, West Coast, Arizona. And he's going to, in the afternoon at a big rally, endorse Trump. Everybody's like, oh, that's bullshit. You made that up. Oh, really? It happened, of course. So I'm very pleased because the globalists are trying to destroy this country, trying to put me in prison, Trump in prison, trying to kill him, that there are a whole bunch of grand juries open, and I know where, and a lot more. And I can tell you, Trump is cracking the whip and pushing through the DOJ any of the bureaucrats that are trying to block this, and is in daily communication with the patriots in there. And so you are about to see, you're already seeing a lot of action, raids on Bolton, all these grand juries open on Jack Smith and Letitia James and all the rest of them. But you have no idea how big it is. It is huge. Remember, 8 years ago, I said there weren't any indictments coming to grand juries, because there wasn't. This time, it is different. So I'm going to research this and, you know, think about it and go over my notes. But tomorrow, 4 p.m. Central, Infowars.com/show, Relic Jones on X, and at AJN Live for the Alex Jones Network. Get ready tomorrow, 4 p.m. Central, because you're going to get the big data dump. And here's the deal. Some people that are smart, no, not BSing, they go, well, wait a minute. You shouldn't be telling the bad guys that Ed Martin and others are coming. They're already getting drug in front of grand juries that last week, this week, next week. They know what's going on. Their houses are getting raided. Their doors are getting kicked in. They're getting their subpoena letters. And they're getting drugged in front of grand juries. Oh, they know. This is, the media is not picking it up because it doesn't make them look good, because they bet on the wrong horse. Plus, our guys aren't. But now they want the information out. Big actions against the deep state coming. The deep state should try to save false flags. Pray for Trump. Pray for the patriots at DOJ. There's a civil war inside there. Pray for Ed Martin. God bless you all.
This tinfoil hat will protect my brain. Ha, ha, ha. You globalist.
Alex Jones, tinfoil hat kit. Alex Jones, tinfoil hat kit. It's the official tinfoil hat kit. He points up to the sky when he's walking around. Chemtrails everywhere, oh, how that sounds. They smell tasty food and they just can't wait. But it's Obama and Hillary up on the Pizzagate.
Yeah,
popped some
pamphlet
and took a jog. Down by the pond to see the gay frogs. Rode his bike with Rob to Fauci, but ran into a lab and yelled at Dr. Fauci. Up in California, he drove and drove until he found a place called Bohemian Grove. Goblins all around wearing cloaks and masks, doing human sacrifice like it's just a task. 5G towers zapping your brain, while geoengineering is controlling the rain. They burn California to a bloody crisp to build low-income housing with the zap of a whisk. Alex Jones, tinfoil hat kids.
The globalists control your mind. Get your parents' permission and order on the website now. Order now and we will throw in the Alex Stress Ball for free.
Hey Chase, good to talk to you again. I wanted to do a quick plug on the methylene blue, on the long-term effects that it had on me. Back in 2020, I got COVID. My brother and my dad both have eczema. After I got COVID, it must have, it opened that dormant cell in my body or whatever. So I've been dealing with eczema ever since 2020. And the long-term effects, the methylene blue, 99% gone.
That's absolutely incredible. I'm so happy. Have your relatives tried it too to see the same effect?
I have been trying to get my brother to take it and he's skeptical, but I'll tell you what, I got 4 bottles sitting on my table. I think I'm just going to give him one. And I think if I just give it to him, I think he'll eventually try it.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Dismantling the system of control, it's InfoWars Sunday Briefing with Nick Sordor.
All right, guys, and welcome to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing with Nick Sordor. We are live here in Washington, D.C., where, of course, as always, the news has just been rolling nonstop over here, which in this case is actually a good thing. You know, Congress isn't in town yet. They're still on their paid vacation for another week or so. That'd be nice. I really wish I got, several months of paid vacation every year. And I'm sure you do too, but, you know, we're not in Congress. Maybe that's a good reason to run for Congress. But anyway, here in Washington, you know, I'm going to go over a little bit of what Alex Jones said in that opening segment there about these, upcoming indictments and how the wheels are actually turning now after 7 months. We're going to get into that here more in depth in just a little bit. But first, I want to go into what I've been seeing here in Washington, D.C., on the ground. I've been out late into the night, every single night. Like last night, I was out until about 3 o'clock in the morning, shadowing these guys, watching them, what they were doing. They haven't commissioned me. I'm not deputized. I'm just, weirdly following them around, making them suspicious of what I'm doing. But after talking to them, you know, they understand that I'm more of a friendly, just documenting what they're doing, not screaming at them. That's what they're used to here. They're used to a bunch of leftists, white, old leftists following them around, people that aren't even from here, and just heckling them on the streets, trying to make the argument that, no, we don't actually want safe streets in Washington, D.C., which, you know, anytime you think that the left can't go any lower, they find a way to. But, you know, in reality, the residents here, we know that they actually like this. I'm a resident here. I've spoken to them on the street. And actually, I was just filming one of the parks the other day where it's quiet as hell. There's typically on a night, it's really, let's just be honest, that they're shooting each other. The youths, it's mostly black teens, go out and then they form these mobs, terrorize people, carjack people, mug people, and then they shoot each other so innocent people get hit with stray bullets. I want to roll clip one here. This wasn't planned. This was just a guy walking down the street that decided he wanted to give me his opinion on what was going on as I was filming.
Yes, I'm... Strangely empty, right?
Right.
It is. Strangely empty.
I've never seen it like this.
Yeah, this guy walking down, as I'm filming, he says, it's strangely empty. Weird, right? Like, yeah, it absolutely is. That's why I'm out here filming. You know, people are noticing it. They're loving it. I saw, like, these families, even, funny enough, walking around, innocent families, at 3 o'clock in the morning through this park last night. You never saw that before. You never saw that before. And while people are calling this an authoritarian occupation and a military takeover, this is what's actually going on. Roll clip 2. The National Guard openly interacting with these troubled teens in D.C.'s Navy Yard, one of the worst neighborhoods in town. Even letting them sit in Humvees. Getting into Humvees, they're taking pictures with the troops on the front of these Humvees. Right, and you got to think, these kids have no... they don't have any... Well, let's just say father figures in their lives most of the time, right? They don't have anybody to look up to. So they look up to street gangsters. Gangsters. We'll say that in quotation marks. They're not exactly Al Capone out here. But they're taking these teens and they're giving them some sense of meaning, even though that meaning is, you know, commit crimes and steal cars. They're manipulating these teens. Because they know the teens won't get in any sort of trouble, or they're going to wrist slap or something along those lines, and they're paying them to go out and commit violent crimes, and namely carjackings. Carjackings are a big one around here. Except for in the past 8 to 10 days, we've seen hardly any carjackings, and what we definitely haven't seen any of are murders. Not a single murder in 10 days now. Which is, you know, the bar is so low, guys. The bar is so low. I mean, I shouldn't be here like, oh yeah, nobody in this small city of, you know, it's one of the smallest large cities in the United States by land area. And I have to celebrate the fact that people here haven't murdered each other in 10 days. That's just a reality that we live in. However, last year, at this time, I actually posted it on my X account. At this time last year, in that same period, 5 homicides happened in Washington, D.C. in that same time period. 5. And so we're down 100% this from this time last year. Absolutely wild. Now, the left still hasn't grasped the fact that this is a good thing, mostly because they either don't live here, or B, they would rather have, as some woman on X posted, I believe yesterday, that, yeah, I'm a victim of carjacking, but, and here's my bro, here's a picture of my broken arm. I forgot to cue this one up because I just thought about it off the top of my head. And I don't want Trump coming into my city because Trump said next is going to be Chicago. One of the worst crime-ridden hellholes in the United States has been for decades behind Washington, D.C. So as I've been saying for weeks now, President Trump is making an example out of D.C., and he's going to spread it across the country as best he can. Now, can't do it the same way. He cannot deputize federal agents to enforce federal laws like you can in, or deputize federal agents to enforce local laws like you can in Washington, D.C. But there are some strings he can pull with the National Guard. It's not going to work quite the same, unfortunately. But the idea is to force these Democrats to admit there is a problem and have their constituents, their reasonable constituents, be like, yeah, mayor, why are you blocking this? Look how well it worked in Washington, D.C. Why aren't you allowing that to happen in our city? Why do we have to worry about going outside and being murdered or being carjacked? Why? And those federal resources, and like, these who can deputize these federal agents are local sheriffs in those counties, like Cook County, where Chicago was. That sheriff can do it. So hopefully there'll be some political pressure to do it. Because you see the U.S. Park Police out here, they're not just guarding monuments anymore. They're also doing warrant enforcement for violent criminals. If you want to roll clip 3, this was right near the park where a lot of action is happening here. U.S. Park Police, you know, if you're riding around D.C. dirty right now, it's not a good idea. You should walk or take a Lime scooter, guys. because it ain't going to work out well for you. They're not just pulling people over willy-nilly. They're not even just pulling, they're not even pulling over people really for committing traffic crimes or anything. They have the Metropolitan Police with them, and they're running plates as they're driving along. And if the driver has an active warrant or a suspended license, they pull you over, right? 90% of the time, it's because you have an active warrant, not because you have a taillight out. Not a single one that I've seen. I've seen dozens of these arrests so far. It's always been because it's an active warrant. And D.C. doesn't like to take care of active warrants. They really haven't in years and years and years now. But now that the federal government is involved, things have changed. MPD, the Metropolitan Police Department, loves this. They are pumped about this. They love the fact that they are finally able to have the resources and have the latitude to do their jobs that they haven't been able to do for years and years and years. So they don't see this as an intrusion. They're empowered more than ever. I've spoken with so many of these guys these past week while I've been out on the streets, and I can't tell you, they want this to stick around forever because they have the manpower now. You know, the officers here are 800 short right now. For the city anyway. And because nobody wanted to work here because they weren't allowed to enforce laws. Why would you work in a police department where your mayor hates you? The city council is always talking crap about you. Why would you want to work here? Morale is up, and hopefully that's going to help with recruiting. That's yet to be determined. But luckily, J.D. Vance this morning, he was on Fox with Maria Bartiromo, and said that this is only going to increase, right? They're not going to just say, okay, well, looks like everything is going better, so we're going to back off. No. He said they're going to double down because it is working so well. And hopefully by double down, that means across the United States. And maybe in a city near you. If it's a crime-ridden hellhole, that's probably exactly what's going to happen. You know, I'm going to touch on a little bit more of this when we come back. Then we're going to talk about these potential upcoming indictments that Alex was talking about. Don't go away.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. It's been helping me out for the last 3 years, lost 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble, bashing, like, getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. What it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on at my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about Methylene Blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it because you had buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the Methylene Blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our Methylene Blue, and it's kept you regress, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
right now? I'm walking.
Okay.
No, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to. Don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly.
Yeah.
Where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the Methylene Blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down. And I was trying to find like a concoction.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that is great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the Methylene Blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it. and seeing effects immediately, being able to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is,
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well,
thank you.
Thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
Briefing, the InfoWars Sunday briefing with Nick Sorter here. And just to add a little bit onto that that last segment there, I was ranting a little bit too long, so I missed this part. Fox came out and broke this story a couple of days ago that Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth are going to, they're also mobilizing National Guard into 19 different states to assist with immigration and federal law enforcement crackdowns, which is long overdue. Unfortunately, right now, they're just going to be a support pillar, more or less. They're not going to be conducting immigration raids on their own or anything. They're just basically going to tag along with ICE, make sure they're safe, which is good. I want them to be safe, but it's and hopefully give them a little bit more capacity. We're not going to see an explosive amount of capacity gained off of this, but hopefully in the future, maybe we'll get there, because in order to get these 20-something million people out that Joe Biden brought into the country, you need the National Guard doing their own raids at this point. You know, it's we're not going to be able to get them all out unless we take it seriously and take that route. I know some people will say, oh, well, that's fascism or authoritarianism or whatever. Well, they have no right to be here. I'm sorry. I don't feel bad about it. I don't feel bad about it at all. And also, actually, on that note, I'm just sort of freestyling it today, guys. Kilmer Abrego Garcia, a federal judge, decided that she was going to release him. Of course, an activist in Tennessee, even though he's being charged with human trafficking. You know, he's on record multiple times beating his wife. She signed an affidavit saying that he beat her multiple times. Obviously he's an illegal. He has MS-13 gang tattoos on his hand. But your friendly neighborhood activist judges, of course, appointed by both Obama and Biden, made sure that he's back out on the street. He's now in Maryland, not too far away from me here, not too far away from the nation's capital. And another activist federal judge here in Maryland, right across the border here, said that he can't be deported without 72 hours worth of notice and has to have due process rights or whatever that means. I mean, he's had a final order of deportation for years now. But now this judge wants to make it so, okay, well, if you deport him to any other country, you have to do, for him and everybody else, a personalized risk assessment report to find out whether or not they can actually survive in a third-party country. Because apparently people in Uganda are out to get Kilmer Abrego Garcia. I have a weird feeling nobody in Uganda knows who the hell Kilmer Abrego Garcia is, okay? If he wants freedom, that's where he needs to go have his freedom, in Uganda, not here. He can't have it here. Not going to be allowed to walk the streets in our country. We're not going to settle for this. We're not going to just roll over and let it happen. Luckily, ICE has already sent that 72-hour notice to his attorneys, saying that they intend to deport him to Uganda. They actually gave him two options. They said, A, you can plead guilty to the crimes that you've been charged with, serve your prison sentence here in the United States, and then we'll send you to beautiful Costa Rica. That's behind door number one. And if you refuse, door number two, you're going to Uganda and you're not coming back. So in reality, you know,
Garcia, Abrego, Rodriguez, whatever your name is, buddy, pal, accept the deal. Accept the deal. You don't want to go to Uganda. Honestly, you probably regret coming back from El Salvador because at least you could have margaritas in El Salvador. I don't think they have those in Uganda. You know, look, it's amazing. This is probably the most egregious version of judicial activism and judicial tyranny that I've seen yet, where you have a federal, like one federal judge barring immigration authorities from taking an MS-13 gang member off of American streets. How is that even possible? I'm getting to the point where I'm thinking that we just, look, play hardball, I guess. This is what I would tell DHS officials to do. And the president can't do this because he'd be impeached for it. So I'll tell them, and maybe they're listening. Just do it. If they say, no, you can't deport him to Uganda, just do it. What's going to happen? You might get charged with contempt by the judge, but who has the pardon power? Who has federal pardon power? The president of the United States, and it's absolute. You know, Joe Biden pardoned everybody and their brother before he left office, right? Including his own brother. So, honestly, what's stopping President Trump from doing that? I mean, we're talking about taking dangerous illegals off of our street. This shouldn't be controversial. So we have the leverage if we want to use it. That's my point. Okay. I'm not saying that maybe Trump shouldn't do that immediately, right? Like we'll work this one out, see what happens on Monday, because he is, Abrego Garcia is supposed to go before a judge or before, he has an immigration check-in on Monday morning. So if he shows up, he's probably going to be taken into custody. And if he doesn't show up, he's also going to be taken into custody. So I would say he's probably going to be there. We'll see how far DHS is willing to push this. You know, I don't know. I'd love for your feedback on that. If you follow me on X, definitely like tag me in a post. I want to know what you guys think about that. Is that too far to say that maybe they should just do it and President Trump can pardon them when they get charged with contempt? I don't think it's too far. I mean, these people have done much more evil things than that. So, and Abrego Garcia obviously isn't the only one. They're trying to set a precedent here. They're trying to use him. These judges are trying to use Abrego Garcia to set this precedent that, okay, every single person that is deported has to have an individual risk assessment done by a third party before we decide whether or not they can be deported. That's what they want to do, which that would clog up the entire system. That's the point. They want this to be as slow and gritty as possible, make it as difficult as possible for us to get this job done and get these people deported. Because obviously the Democrats are in turmoil over this entire situation. We talked about it multiple times on the show. You guys have heard it before. You know how this works at this point. The Democrats don't just want these illegals in the country just so that they can vote illegally. It's so that they can count in the census and give Democrats in places like California those extra congressional seats. That's why this is, in their mind, this is an existential crisis for the Democrat Party. That's why they're doing this. And the judges are obviously in the pockets of the Democrats. They've all, you look at every single one of them that is blocking all this stuff. They're all DEI appointees. So that doesn't surprise anybody. They're all black lesbian Biden judges that were appointed by God knows who. Probably not even legitimate because Joe Biden didn't actually sign their commission. The auto pen did. An argument for another day. I could go on and on about that. Luckily, we have Ed Martin looking into that. He's going to continue. He's got a lot on his plate, this guy, Ed Martin. And that's what the entire next segment is going to be about. Actually, this segment was going to be about it, but I wanted to get into Abrego Garcia. Deep dive into what's coming with Ed Martin right after this next break. I don't have all the information that Alex Jones is going to have for you tomorrow, but it's pretty interesting, the kind of stuff that I've heard myself from the DOJ in the past couple of days. So we'll take a dive into that and then go over what's happened in the past week, how the wheels are turning. And, that'll be right in the next segment. Stay tuned, guys.
All the guests, dozens.
While the concept of tinfoil hats as a defense against mind control may sound far-fetched, there's a nugget of truth in their effectiveness for blocking certain electromagnetic signals. Tinfoil hats, when properly constructed, can act as a rudimentary electromagnetic shield. They work on the principle that metal can reflect or absorb electromagnetic radiation, including radio waves and microwaves. Some conspiracy theories suggest that these types of signals are used for mind control or surveillance. Mind control is profoundly concerning because it infringes upon an individual's autonomy and freedom of thought. It involves manipulative tactics or technologies that can coerce or influence a person's beliefs, decisions, and actions against their will. This intrusion into one's cognitive and emotional processes undermines their ability to make independent choices and shapes their behavior in ways that may run counter to their values and interests.
And, of course, you know where tinfoil hats come from? In the 50s and 60s, the Russians would blast our embassies with different types of radiation and microwaves. They started lining them, actually, with tin at first. It was actually tin, not aluminum. Old days, tinfoil was tin, the metal tin, not foil. And then they would also line it with lead. So these wives' tale things, or these things we make jokes out of, we're not actually selling this to you to protect you from 5G. It really won't do that. I would imagine the studies, some of it bounces off, but not much because it shoots through everything. It's why it's so dangerous. And we've shown you the footage of plants won't even grow in 5G, plus just the regular Wi-Fi in your house. They've done university studies. But it's a lot of fun. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. You can make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hats with this bad boy. And it is a lot of fun. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Absolute style. Look how easy it was to make that. And now CNN cannot mind control me. And, you know, you can make it cooler. You can add all sorts of stuff to it. Here, I can make a Viking helmet. That looks pretty cool. Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. There you go. Look how fast that was. Now you're ready for the Halloween party coming up. Kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. Well, now we're ready. And it is a lot of fun, and it supports the broadcast. And in 1995, it's a good deal. Hell, this much tinfoil costs you like $15 at the store. So this is an amazing deal, thealexjonesstore.com. So get your Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, I'm a tinfoil hat wearing, meat-eating son of a gun, loving sun, loving hot-blooded Texian, two-stepping, outlaw free, one looking for a little fun.
The official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit, 100% lifetime guarantee, high-quality aluminum. Got the famous shot of me there with the aluminum hat. 50 square feet, 100% lifetime guarantee. Protect your mind from the globalist. I love the idea they had of an Alex Jones stress ball. People really love it. That's available. You know, fun little things. Not just the widest selection of Patriot t-shirts and ball caps and hoodies and sweaters, but cool stuff like this. But now we have the official Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit. Alex Jones tinfoil hat kit now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. You're watching InfoWars Sunday Briefing with your host, Nick Sordor.
And welcome back to the InfoWars Sunday Briefing. And look, this is the moment we have all been waiting for. The early in the morning, no-knock raids on corrupt deep state officials, they've finally begun. I hope there's a lot more than where this came from here, but obviously this week, a lot of us had the pleasure of waking up to the news that John Bolton had his home raided at about 7 o'clock in the morning. You can see these FBI agents, they had already been at this house for, at this point when I recorded this video from the TV, they'd already been there for over 5 hours taking boxes out, look, John Bolton, you know, has been one of the most egregious examples of deep state trash that we've seen in modern U.S. history, right? A guy that deserves a hell of a lot of credit for starting the Iraq War, for convincing George Bush, who, God bless his soul, just probably had no idea what the hell was going on, right? I don't exactly think that maybe he was our best and brightest president, right? But this guy, John Bolton, was one of his advisors, who, of course, paired with Dick Cheney, was able to convince George Bush that, oh yeah, there were actually weapons of mass destruction. Let's go into Iraq. Let's invade. And, you know, let's cost the U.S. trillions of dollars and thousands of service members' lives. That was this guy. Okay. And now you see he's been working for years to try to undermine not just President Trump, but the United States in general. Guy's got houses all over the country. He's worth $90 million. This government employee, somehow, pretty amazing. I mean, I'm thinking maybe I'll go work in government. InfoWars doesn't pay me nearly that much. And now we're seeing his door being broken down in the middle of the night, as well as his office down here in Washington, D.C. Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely satisfying to watch. I couldn't take my eyes off the TV most of the day when this was happening. And this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. If anything came out of the Epstein situation, anything good anyway, it's that the DOJ is trying to make up for that PR nightmare. So they're putting more focus on these sorts of raids. They're putting more focus on grand jury, on convening grand juries to start locking these people up. Because the American people are like, they're this close to just having been totally fed up with this DOJ. A lot of people have already gotten to that point. So it seems like they're trying to put themselves back onto a path where people can have faith in what they're doing and such. I don't believe it's necessarily a distraction. I know some people are going to say that. I think this stuff was going to happen anyway, but it's happening on a schedule now that is faster than what they were initially planning on doing. And there's such a massive backlog of people to arrest that that's a good thing. Hopefully we can knock out most of these by the end of the term, right? So that's the next step here. John Bolton has not been arrested. He's not been indicted. We do know that there was material taken out of the house. And now it seems, anyway, that this actually goes further than just, oh, well, John Bolton has classified documents that he's hiding because he was sharing them to write his book or something. You know, if you guys want to play clip three there, it goes deeper than that.
This might have nothing to do with classified documents or about classified intelligence that Bolton printed in his book. Trump Justice Insider Mike Davis says Democrats, rhinos, and reporters who think this raid on John Bolton is about his book will be very embarrassed when the search warrant becomes public. Primetime's hearing Bolton was making a lot of money from overseas and may have been trafficking in intelligence. That wouldn't be putting America first. Constitutional scholar Jonathan Turley, who we just heard from, says Bolton could be looking at up to 20 years in prison. So Bolton should take his own advice and take a big, beautiful, deep breath.
I think it's important that everybody take a deep breath here. This is a very serious matter, and it would be better.
Luckily, and actually, so that falls in line with this cryptic tweet from Dan Bongino that came out just as the raid was ongoing. Everybody knew what it was about because he quote posted Cash Patel, Let's see if this will work here. Will that focus in on that? Almost. Sort of. Anyway. Cash Patel said no one is above the law. FBI agents on a mission. Dan Bongino said public corruption will not be tolerated. What I take from that, because public corruption isn't just, it's not holding classified documents at your house. Public corruption would be trafficking that information or selling that information to adversaries. And actually, if he was selling it to adversaries, that amounts to treason. That's exactly what treason is. Aiding the enemy. Undermining the United States by aiding the enemy. That is what treason is. Could John Bolton be the first guy to be tried for treason in modern U.S. history? Would it surprise anybody? Probably not. I mean, we've been calling this guy treasonous for years, but we might have the evidence now, or the proof. We might actually see an indictment for that. This guy is probably going to be one of the easiest guys out of anybody to indict. Now, however, there's a counter argument to that, that John Bolton, you know, as sleazy as he is not dumb. I mean, I don't know how many classified documents he may have had laying around his house, but he might also just have that big of an ego and think that he's untouchable because he has been for so many years. You know, he survived the entire first Trump administration and was never indicted. But we know now that the FBI, once Biden took office, shut down an investigation into John Bolton. Why? Because John Bolton was doing their dirty work for him. He was going around, you know, all during the campaign in 2020, crap talking Trump, talking about how, you know, Trump had no idea what he was doing and that he was never the one calling the shots because he was clueless, and just an entire smear campaign. So what Bolton was trying to do, obviously, was hope that Biden would get into office and make everything go away. And he was successful in that regard. So when people are going to say now, oh, yeah, well, this is all political. This is a political attack on one of Trump's enemies. Was it not political for the Biden regime, after Bolton did their dirty work for him, to just push the case out of the way, close it? No, okay, yep, never mind. We're gonna move on from this without any explanation. Was that political? Was it not political to raid President Trump's house at Mar-a-Lago and dig through Melania's underwear drawers? I don't know. Where is the line? How is this political, but that wasn't politically motivated? We're talking about a former president of the United States in Donald Trump. Somebody who had already declassified those documents that they accused him of having before he left the Oval Office. You didn't see it happen to Joe Biden, who didn't have declassification power, that of course stole a bunch of documents, put them in his garage and said, oh, well, they were safely next to my Corvette. Apparently that's a defense. So if you guys ever get caught with classified documents, just make sure they're in your garage on the floor next to your Corvette. And that's your ample defense right there. Everybody will just move right on. So the Democrat hypocrisy, I mean, I could spend every show, every single week pointing this stuff out. It gets more and more brazen. It's more and more brutal to listen to. And, I'm hoping they continue down this road because the midterms will be absolutely beautiful. And speaking of midterms, you guys may have heard the Texas maps. They're about to be signed into law. And Gavin Newsom is, of course, on a tirade about it. We'll get deep into that after this break. Stay tuned. Sunday briefing on InfoWars.
All the guests, dozens of them that have taken it within 45 minutes to an hour have varying degrees from extreme energy and feel really great, fog lifting, to just over the top crying. It feels so good. Cleans out the cells, just does incredible things. RFK Jr. loves it. We've got the strongest old wrestling blue, but he's going on Owen in about 30 minutes. My show just ended and I forgot to do this. Don't forget when he's on Owen to tell us what he felt. And if he doesn't feel it, we'll put that out. So Stuart, go ahead and take a half dropper or so. That's about a half dose. And then go ahead and shove that down. And then we're going to find out what happens to you. We'll see. Most people, it takes for about 30 minutes, starts peaking after a couple hours. But just tell people what you think. And if you don't feel it, we're going to tell everybody.
20 minutes later. I can feel a definite, like, an energy spike. Yeah, it feels pretty good.
What are you going to do now? Now that you have your energy spike?
I'm going to see if it has a crash.
I've never heard of a crash.
Yeah, apparently it doesn't. But yeah, it feels pretty good. Yeah, definitely, I feel sharper.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was pretty tired coming in here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Well, you're running around Texas right now. You're dealing with some other issues here.
I was driving all over Texas giving speeches for True Texas Project.
So did he give you the drink or the capsules?
I took the drink, but I got a bottle of each, and I'm going to go and do a longer-term test. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do feel kind of amped right now. Yeah.
Several weeks later.
You just saw an ad for Methylene Blue. You were here a few weeks ago. And I do this with every guest, more than 50 of them now. Every person has had clarity, energy, a fog lift is the most common. But what's really good is the long-term effects for your stamina, your energy, your libido, your how hard you can work out. It's amazing. So I had forgotten when he was coming in, we gave him a bottle because he loved it.
Almost gone.
I had forgotten to ask you if you listened and did it long-term. So just briefly, tell people the short-term effect and then now a few weeks later, the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, I do some Methylene Blue about a half hour before, and it just gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
We'll give you some. How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Something like that. You gave me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support at theaustinshore.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, now 4 or 5 months ago, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know. I was like lifting way more, going way harder. And then I got really exhausted after about a week because it happened, the same thing happened to Rob Dew, who's a great long distance, bike rider. So he's quite the athlete. He said he was biking so hard up hills and stuff that he actually had to pull over because, his heart was going crazy. I mean, this stuff's wild.
Yeah, it's good. I like it better than doing like a 5-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
So you've had no crash.
Right.
It's not a stimulant. It just skips the oxidization process somehow.
So I've been using it while I'm out there doing search and rescue. While I'm almost out.
You're saying you love it for working out. Has it gotten better over time, or what long-term thing have you felt, or if nothing?
Well, I think the main thing is it gives me a better workout, and that has good results over time. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I found without even knowing.
Yeah.
And then O'Keefe's like, oh, it made my vision better. And Rob Dew goes, we have a bunch of callers already saying that. Did you see these studies about it, like curing glaucoma? And I'm not going to say, we're not selling it as a drug. I'm not saying it's going to do that. I'm like, God, this stuff's crazy. No, they don't want you to know about it. It's like ivermectin.
Right, exactly. Old school stuff.
But you can't take it if you're on SSRIs. And folks, it's so strong. Talk to your doctor first because it's not a game. Ours is really strong. If you'll just try it, you'll be hooked. And we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. We'll be right back with Stuart Rhodes.
Kicking, screaming, whining, just gaslighting, whatever they needed to do to attempt, I guess, pretend like they were going to be able to block the maps down there in Texas. It clearly didn't work. Finally, it happened. It's now passed both the House and the Senate down there in Texas. And the governor is now going to be able to sign it into law, hopefully this week sometime. But it's going to happen. They lost. We knew they were going to lose. They knew they were going to lose. But, everything with Democrats is theater, of course. Now, Gavin Newsom has had a lot to say about it because he's already launched his 2028 campaign, essentially. He hasn't officially said that, but we all know what's going on here. And Butthead has to be able to, I guess, connect with people because he doesn't. He's just not. People pretty much see through his lies at this point. He's got to act like a tough guy that has something to sell because he can't sell his record homelessness and record high gas prices and record high energy prices and stuff. That message doesn't sell to the rest of the United States. That only works in California somehow, probably because they rigged the vote. I mean, let's just be honest. So he's got to run on something else. And so that message in 2028 is going to be, well, I fought Donald Trump and he wanted the maps in Texas redrawn. So I redrew the maps in California as well. President Trump had some choice words for Gavin Newsom. If you guys have that clip ready there, there was some heaters thrown at Newsom in the Oval Office the other day.
Let's talk. Can you talk about the economic impact that people will have in these cities, and what's your message to the mayors to get their cities prepared, not only the beautification process, but also the safety aspect?
Well, Los Angeles is an example. You know, it's poorly run. We have a mayor there that can't even get permits to the people that lost their houses. Lee Zeldin got every permit. The hardest permit is the federal permit. Within 20 days, every single permit was there for the people to build their houses. But people are writing us and they're saying they won't give us. The mayor is incompetent. The governor is incompetent. You know, Gavin, I know Gavin very well. He's an incompetent guy with a good line of bullshit. And he doesn't get the job done. And frankly, those people want to build their houses. It's terrible. They could have been built. Some of them could have been built already. But think of it. The federal government that has the most complex part, and it's the most complex environmental thing to do. We got it. Everybody had it within 30 days. And they're not even getting their permits. And now they're
this is what Gavin Newsom's legacy is actually going to be. This right here. What he does to his people. President Trump hit it right on the head. People are still not able to rebuild in California. After these fires that happened earlier this year, the federal permits are out of the way, which are historically the most difficult permits to get approved. And it typically takes sometimes years, you know, because of the Democrat bureaucracy. Now, President Trump and Lee Zeldin fast-tracked all of that to make sure that these people, that the federal government was out of the way when it came to rebuilding their homes out there in the Palisades in California. And, you know, of course, as expected, Gavin Newsom has decided to partake in a land grab. We've been saying that again for weeks and weeks. Like, I feel like it's just every time we conspiracy theorists say something, it ends up being true at this point. And it's true. Again, Realtor.com came out with this story. A foreign investor, Chinese investor, of course, it's a Chinese toy company, or the majority owner of a Chinese toy company, secretly snapped up $65 million in Malibu real estate destroyed by the wildfires. Why? Because people can't rebuild there. They're not allowed to rebuild. So they're just dumping the properties at this point because they're still having to pay mortgages on them. This is the same thing that's happening out there in Lahaina. People are, once it gets to a certain point, where people just can't afford it anymore, they have to sell, and they do. Lahaina is even worse than what's going on out there in Malibu, and it's going to happen in the Palisades too, which aren't full of just a bunch of, you know, billionaires in their beach houses. This is just the start. And how much is Gavin Newsom making off of it? You can see Patriots here finally, like, calling this guy out. Congrats, Newsom. Record crime, violence, and homelessness. Record high gas prices. People see it. People see it. And this is the message that we're going to be shouting in 2028 constantly. Like, this guy is just, he's going to be memed into the dirt. He's going to, like, middle America is the swing state. You think swing state voters are going to be like, yeah, I wish my electric prices were, you know, twice as high as they are right now. I wish I was forced to drive an electric car instead of a gas powered car when it's minus 30 out here in Wisconsin. I want that to be me. Now, that message isn't going to sell. It's just not going to sell. So he's going to have a tough time with that. But the land grab is real. We're seeing it again. We're seeing what, obviously, we saw the low-income housing, the $110 million low-income housing project that Gavin Newsom is building out there in the Palisades now as well. And I think this is waking a lot of people up that are even in L.A., people that would have even voted for Gavin Newsom. They're speaking out now. They're speaking out now and calling this atrocity out. I mean, Newsom and his cronies are so used to getting away with this stuff that they never felt any, they're not even really trying to cover it up. You know, I don't know why we're even allowing foreigners to come in and buy coastal lands anyway. Why don't we just ban that? Why don't we ban that on a federal level, on national defense grounds? Why do we need Chinese people buying up our coastlines? Does any other country allow that to happen? Any other, you know, maybe now because Europe has been conquered by the third world and whatever, and they've been taught to hate themselves. So probably, yeah. I mean, Europe probably gives foreigners property on the coastline for all I know. But, you know, it's wild that we're seeing this. I mean, Newsom is, like I said, this is all political for him. He's going to use this to run in 2028. But just bear in mind, he's got all of this stuff going on, too. And people aren't really screaming about this too much on a national level because he's just the governor of California, one state, right? Wait until he tries to be the leader of us all out here. And, you know, speaking of people that believe they're above the law, I want to hit on this as well. Clip number one, if you guys have this, up there in New York, that $550 million verdict against President Trump thrown out, the one that Letitia James got against him just this week. Pretty big story. If you guys can roll that clip, it'd be awesome.
An appeals court has just thrown out President Donald Trump's $364 million civil fraud penalty. This just happened. It is a developing story. We're getting a lot more information. A big news story for the day. We're going to bring you more details as we get them. This just in. Also want to bring you this because this has been slamming.
Coming this past week, this judgment against President Trump was so egregious, so ridiculous, that they threw it out on constitutional grounds. It violated President Trump's Eighth Amendment rights, which is which protects you and him and me and everybody, every other American from cruel and unusual punishment. So that's how wild this judgment was. All because they're trying to say that Mar-a-Lago, one of the most valuable homes in the United States, was only worth $18 million. That was the predicate for the entire case, right? When President Trump went to I believe this one was Deutsche Bank that he went to refinance properties and said, this is what I believe it's worth, but I encourage you to do your own valuation on it. And Deutsche Bank just agreed with his valuation and loaned him the money. There was no crime here. There was no victim. So again, just to remind everybody, when Letitia James comes out and says, oh no, like this is a political prosecution against me because I committed mortgage fraud. In this case, in her case, there is a victim. There is a victim. There's tax fraud involved in that because she's paying lower tax rates on the fact that she's claiming multiple primary residences. She gets better premiums. So the insurance company, I don't typically care about insurance companies being screwed, but technically they're a victim in this case. As well as the mortgage company. They're also a victim in this case. So there are victims, multiple victims. The taxpayers are the victims here. So this isn't political weaponization. It's the same thing with Adam Schiff. They committed crimes and they're going to be held accountable for them. You can't commit mortgage fraud. They think they're above the law. They think if you or I did it, we'd already be in jail. But they thought they were going to be able to do it because, you know, Democrats were never punished in the past. And that's changing. These are open and shut cases. We have the signed affidavits. There's nothing they can say about them. The signatures match. It's coming, guys. At a very minimum, we're going to see them be indicted. They're going to go through the entire process. And hopefully, unless there's an activist juror, we'll see them behind bars. And we'll see you guys back here, same time, 2 p.m. Eastern, next week.
I've been hearing about this for years, and now it's all the rage. And about a year ago, they did a survey of the customers at thealexandthestore.com and said, what is it you want the most? What product would you like to have? Why do you got that email? And the number one thing was bovine colostrum. This is the highest rated, private labeled, 2,000 milligram per serving. And if you don't know what colostrum is, let me tell you. A cow's a mammal, we're a mammal. A dog's a mammal, a blue whale's a mammal. I know most of you know that. And mammals drink milk from their mother's breasts. The first milk of the first few weeks is called colostrum, and it's more clear, and it's full of all of the immunity and all the super nutrients and it's basically God's vaccine. We've got the best bovine colostrum that we're introducing right now that you're going to find anywhere. Cellular recovery and defense matrix. It's also incredible for gut health and flora. Immune support, natural compounds strengthen your body's defenses against toxins and stress. Muscle recovery aid promotes faster tissue repair and reduces soreness post-workout or strain. Stress and energy balance delivers calm, focused energy with natural adaptogens, no caffeine crashes. Toxin defense supports detox pathways to flush out environmental pollutants and free radicals. Enhance nutrient absorption, improves nutrient uptake for better overall health without fillers. It's a hassle. I mean, because you only get this for a few weeks after the cow has a baby. It's the next best thing to mommy's milk. So it's all the rage for years. Everybody's going totally insane about it. I'm going to be taking it. This is next level. And I'll be completely honest with you. Everybody's been telling me to take colostrum for years. It's hard for me to start taking a supplement. Once I do and it works, I stay on it. I'm going to be taking this. All I hear about is how great it is.